what God has sent me into the world to say and to proclaim this very night, this very moment, is that 2011 is going to be the year of the Guru. And I'm going to give you some detail and some explanation that needs to be spoken. There's a great movement in this world, in the New Age community, and I hear it spoken. I hear it spoken by some very, very famous spiritual teachers. I've even heard it spoken by a couple of masters, which is shocking to me, but mostly by spiritual teachers who are not enlightened, though they might be world famous with best-selling books and have made tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, which has helped this movement gain momentum. And that proclamation has been and is that the age of the guru is over and you don't need anyone and you're all masters, we're all enlightened, we don't need anyone, I'm sovereign, and all this other garbage, which is completely ignorant and very, very fear-based and egomaniacal. Beloveds, just to set the record straight, the age of the guru is not over. The age of the guru has not begun. It begins in 41 minutes. The age of the guru on planet Earth begins now. Masters have existed for thousands of years. They've been relegated to the catacombs and to mystery schools and in large part to India. And yes, they've come out of the closet a little bit, but the collective has not accepted them. The collective condemns them, avoids them, blasphemes them, disgraces them, or tries to. Masters can't be disgraced, not real ones, but what they try to do amongst others. And so the age of the guru has not begun. There have been hints and wafts of things people have said here that have alluded to this and testimonials to the very same. Trying to liberate oneself and to merge in God and restore your divinity and walk as God on earth alone without the help of ones who have done it themselves is tantamount to being in the center of a pool of quicksand that's 25 feet across and you're in the center completely clear. There's nothing above you and around you. You're in the center of a pool of quicksand the size of this room, 25 feet across, and you're in the middle up to your nostrils and trying to pull your left hand with your right hand, thinking you can lift yourself out. That's tantamount to liberating yourself without the help of another master, a God-realized being. People say, well, can it be done? Go ahead and try. Well, so-and-so sat in a cave for 10 years and didn't have anyone. Anyone who has the discipline, the surrender, the focus, the devotion, the fortitude, the perseverance, the selflessness, the humility to sit in a cave for 10 years, believe me, beloveds, has standing room only in that cave. There are so many masters manifesting physically and appearing in that cave. They don't do it alone. That is sheer ignorance, surpassed only by the arrogance and stupidity of such a statement. It cannot be done without divine grace. Period. Period. We are in the age of the false prophet. Every religion in the world has said this. We are living in an age of tainted saints, even, when even masters have been tainted by greed, corruption, darkness, complacency, vanity, even people who themselves are liberated. Of course, it's always the darkest hour before the dawn. Do those words daunt you, scare you? They shouldn't. They need not. My hope is that they inspire you, because it's all up to you anyway. It's not about who's tainted and who isn't. Water seeks its own level. Lesser students draw lesser teachers. And everyone draws exactly what they need in every single moment. It's all up to you anyway, so you can't point at anyone or put the blame on anyone. But to continue deluding oneself, to think you can go it alone, like this beautiful angel spoke, finally, after years, this man has so much divine company in his head, so many spiritual epiphanies and encounters with beings living and in spirit. And for him to sit there and say, I finally get it, the penny dropped only today. Who am I kidding? That is born of humility. That is born of wisdom. That is born of descent of divine grace. That finally, okay, we're ready to play ball. We're ready to talk now. Beloveds, mark my words. The day will come, and most of you will see it in your lifetime, and much sooner than the end of it, when God-realized beings are as popular and as in demand as movie stars. They will be on television shows worldwide. They will be filling stadiums of 50 and 100,000 people. And they will be holding court with kings and queens. And heads of state and corporations will be crawling on a mile of broken glass to hear anything they have to say about anything, including the weather. So in demand will be people who live outside the wheel of karma, people who live outside the labyrinth of insane separation, because they are the ones who hold the keys to the kingdom. I'm calling a spade a spade. Let's put all the nonsense talk aside. You will live to see this. There was a peek at this in a movie some years ago called The Fifth Element, those of you who saw it. And that movie, set way in the future, 2025 or something like that, all the governments had merged and there was one world government. And all the planets and galaxies had merged. There was one intergalactic government. And the president of that world cosmic government happened to be in the United States, which is also not by coincidence. And an interesting was African American. That's fascinating. But what was fascinating was, as you watch the movie, and I don't mean to make any parallels to Barack Obama, it just kind of struck me as funny. I'm saying that because of what I'm about to say. Please make no inferences. But in the movie, you could, as you're watching the film, you could see that this man was so caught up in his power and so, which Barack is not, by the way, he's one of the most humble statesmen who's ever walked the planet. But he was so caught up, this character in the film, in his power, in his vanity, in his egomaniacal sense of who he was and the position he held. Ultimately, as the movie progressed, you could see how absolutely powerless and clueless he was from the divine perspective, as this demonic ball of darkness, of pure evil, was racing toward the planet, about to annihilate the entire world civilization. He, in all his inestimable power, was helpless, didn't know what to do, and everyone's turning to him, help us, help us. And you saw him just shrivel to nothing. And it was that little priest, that monk, who held the key, because those sacred beings, remember that old expression, the meek shall inherit the earth, that life stream of intergalactic beings who were of infinitely more evolved than earthlings at that time, of such pure love, they had entrusted into a lineage of monks, of high priests from days of yore, this key that they would carry, the fifth element, and the whole key to unlock this vortex that would save the planet in its final hour. And in the beginning, if you recall, when he entered the assembly, they wouldn't give him the time of day. They just looked at him and laughed him out of the room. And then in the end, when this thing was minutes or hours from annihilating the earth, they were begging him for help, begging him, we'll do anything, help me. And because he was humble, he didn't mind that they had degraded him and insulted him and defamed him and humiliated him publicly. All he cared about was God. All he cared about was love. He just wanted to, he had his focus on the big picture. Let's just get the job done here. I don't need the credit and I don't need any apologies. Let's just get the job done. He was finally happy that someone paid attention to him so he could do what he came to do. And the planet was saved. That was a very prophetic film in that way. Because as the polarity continues to widen on planet Earth, and it does, you know, this whole New Agey thing, you know, and 2012 will all ascend, it's all a fifth dimension, and run up your credit cards because there'll be no money, and we're all going to be living, you know, in without money and the cities will be gone and all that. It's just really ridiculous. That's another whole discourse in itself. That it's just poof, there'll be this poof in a moment and everyone will just be, you know, it's not gonna happen, folks. It's not gonna happen, not that way. It has to be won, it has to be attained, it has to be earned. It has to be earned. You get that experience of God running through your veins by humbling yourself, by purifying yourself, by yearning for it, by sacrificing, by enduring whatever you have to have it, and by becoming honest and accountable to look at your true, authentic and inauthentic self and transmute and transform and do what needs to be done, whatever it is. And the more you're willing to, the irony is, the less you have to do. Because the more you humble yourself and focus, galvanize your focus on God, and getting back to the dispensation, I use the word God and Guru synonymously. And I need to qualify the word Guru too in order to make that statement. Because most of the world now has so genericized the word Guru. Guru now for the collective means anyone who's good at anything. There's no such thing as a cooking guru. There's no such thing as an aerobics guru. Guru means one thing. It is a God-realized being who walks on earth as God incarnate, and it lives solely to liberate other people. All other meanings of the word are non-existent. Every teacher is not a guru. Now, there are other things I can get into to extrapolate on that, I just wanted to qualify that so we can all be on the same page. A guru is not anyone who's good at anything. And in this age of the false prophets, there are so many people inside the labyrinth who have become so masterful at deluding others and deluding themselves that they themselves actually believe they're on the outside of the labyrinth. And they have painted murals on the inside of these brick walls that look like the outside, the land of freedom. And they've stared at those prison walls for so long that they actually believe they're on the outside. And then they build soapboxes and become famous and get a lot of money and a lot of fame and a lot of followers. And they have those people staring at the same brick wall, the inside of the prison in which they themselves live, that they're all believing they're on the outside. Now we have this huge movement, everyone's a master and everyone's free and we're all ascended and it doesn't matter. And I think to myself, oh dear God, like Jesus on the cross, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. But does it matter ultimately? No, it doesn't, because it's all perfect. It is all perfect. But I'm here to tell you, that's not truth at the level of the absolute. The level of the absolute, you cannot pull up on your own hand in the middle of a pool of quicksand and lift yourself out of it. The mind is as cunning as the soul is masterful. The ego's favorite disguise is piety. And its greatest talent, the ego personality's greatest talent, is disguising its voice as the voice of God. It is a master at that. You cannot read your way into enlightenment. You cannot take drugs all the way into enlightenment, including shamanic drugs. You will not realize God through shamanic drugs, with all due respect. And you cannot just talk about it or window shop and hop around. Scattered investments bring scattered returns. At some point in some lifetime, everyone will fall on his and her knees the altar of God and say, I give up. I cannot do this alone. Take me. Show me. Help me.